There are many mysteries in the Bible, mysteries we can never fully understand. One of them was uttered by Jesus on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? God turns his back on his only Son as the Lamb of God is slain. Today, we'll at least describe the unthinkable mystery and then try to comprehend it. Please stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer is in a series on Cries from the Cross, a journey into the heart of Jesus. Today we turn again to Matthew chapter 27 and hear a note of hope as the Son of God calls out to his Father in a cry of anguish.
God is still there. God still belongs to Jesus. He is my God. But where is the fellowship? Where is the divine presence? It has left. It has gone. So we look at this text and we are amazed at the wonder of the cry, but we're also amazed at the wonder of the reply. We're amazed at the wonder of the reply because in the text itself, there is no reply. Do you remember Abraham? He was asked to sacrifice his son Isaac on Mount Moriah, and he goes through the agony of being willing to do it, and he is there on the mountain, and the child is laid upon the altar, and the knife is raised to stab his own boy, and there's a voice from heaven, and the voice says, "Abraham, Abraham," and he said, "Yes, here I am," and he says, "Do not lay your hand upon the son, because now I know that you fear God." Jesus cries out and says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And there is no voice from heaven. There's no voice that says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Silence. Silence. "Why hast thou forsaken me?" But you know, as we begin to piece together passages of Scripture and we look at this, we know why Jesus was forsaken, and he knew it too. Why was Jesus Christ forsaken on the cross? Why this cry taken from Psalm 22, as we shall see in just a moment? Well, first of all, it makes sense. Because on the cross, Jesus was regarded as the worst sinner and criminal that had ever walked the face of this earth. Of all men, he was regarded as the worst. Not personally, because he was without sin, but legally. When Jesus was there, he became legally guilty of adultery. He became legally guilty of murder, of child abuse. He became legally guilty of greed and lasciviousness. He became legally guilty of lying and cheating and violence, because all of that was credited to him. God was in Christ. Indeed, the Apostle Paul says that we are made the righteousness of God in him because he was made sin for us. And you, my friend, your sin was there that day on Calvary. I'm talking to some of you who are adulterers and some of you who engage in all kinds of sinful activity. Your sin was there on Calvary, remember. No wonder the Son hid. Jesus was regarded as the greatest of criminals. And what happens to the greatest of criminals? They endure the wrath of God. And in the end, they are forsaken. Let's think about this theologically for just a moment, okay? If Jesus was just a perfect man, just a man, he could maybe die for the sin of one other man and make a sacrifice and say, "I give my life in the stead of one other person. I take the wrath of God against me for him." One other person. He couldn't die for millions of people. He could only die for one. But because Jesus was the God-man, because he was both God and man and had a divine nature and was dying now for millions of people. You see, all of the punishment of hell, not just for one, but for many, had to be compressed into a 3-hour period as he endured the wrath of God that would justly fall upon those who would not be redeemed. That is to say that Jesus was going to endure the wrath of God that we would have received if he had not redeemed us. And now we kind of reach the limits, don't we? Because what we really have is an infinite being, perhaps with infinite suffering that we cannot possibly comprehend. How could the pure, holy, spotless Son of God come into direct contact with sin and not be grieved and not be forsaken if we can almost visualize Jesus dying with a blanket of all of our sins in which he is wrapped? And holiness has to come in contact now with sin. Who can fathom it? I think that one of the best illustrations of what happened on Calvary is that story that's been told many different times, I'm sure in different ways. Stories have a life of their own. About the person who was speeding and then was unable to pay the fine. And so he stood before the judge, the defendant did, and the man did not have any money. And the story is that the judge left his bench, took off his robe, went down the stairs, stood with the defendant, took $100 out of his own pocket, laid it on the table, went back, put on his robe, walked up the stairs, was on the bench, reached over and took the $100 bill and said, "You are free." Now there's a part of that illustration that is right. There's also a part that is wrong. The part that is right is that's exactly what was happening here. God was dying for God. That's why Luther went into a room to contemplate this text and came out and said, "I cannot fathom it. I have given up. How can God die on behalf of God?" But that's exactly what happened. That's why we sing that thou my God shouldst die for me. So the illustration is right, that the God who demands the payment is the God who gives the payment that he demands. That's the gospel. The thing that's wrong with that illustration is we're not talking about $100. We're not talking about silver and gold. We're talking about the precious blood of Jesus Christ as of a lamb without spot. We're talking about infinite suffering of a beloved son. We're talking about the Father breaking fellowship with the one whom he loved. That's what we're speaking of, with hell compressed into 3 hours. But the God who demanded a payment if he was to love sinners and to receive them is the God who gave the very payment that he demanded. That, my friend, is the gospel. Now there's a question to be asked, and the question is, did Jesus suffer just as man or also as God? There are some people who think, well, his human nature suffered, but God can't suffer. Now, you know that I disagree with that. I think that the Father suffered as well. No father could watch his son go through this without feeling the pain. And I believe that Jesus, as the God-man, suffered. And I agree with those who say that a God who cannot suffer is a God who cannot love. And I think Bonhoeffer was right when he wrote in prison that only a suffering God can help us. It means that when the Bible says that Jesus is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, it is not just Jesus the man, it is Jesus the God-man. It is Jesus with the divine nature. And God now, God is entering into our predicament as we see here at the cross. God is the one who himself suffered and feels your pain and your hurt. There's a third wonder. We talked about the wonder of the cry itself, the wonder of the answer, but there's really a third, and that is the wonder of the human heart. Now I want you to visualize it. You're at the cross. You're not listening to this message now. You are there. I want you to see the cross. I want you to see the mobs milling around. And I want you to hear Jesus with a loud voice. The Bible says he cried. And we know that it was loud because the text tells us that many people heard. And he cries, my God, why have you forsaken me? There has been 3 hours of darkness with no explanation, no eclipse. The Bible says in the book of Matthew also that the rocks trembled and there was an earthquake and rocks split. Would you not think that people would be repenting? Would you not think that they would say, this has been predicted in Psalm 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because Psalm 22 is the best example of crucifixion that one could ever have. And we know that David wrote this under the divine spirit because the Jews did not crucify people. They stoned them. But this is crucifixion. It says in verse 2, oh my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer, but by night, and I am not silent. Do you see there that you have both night and day there in Psalm 22 after the words, my God, why have you forsaken me? Verse 6, I am a worm and not a man, scorned by men and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. They say he trusted in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let the Lord deliver him. I am poured out like water and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is turned to wax. That's crucifixion. Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men have encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. Surely somebody in the crowd must have said, this is surely the Son of God, because he's fulfilling Psalm 22. He began by saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Which is verse 1. And if they had known the rest of the verse, they'd have said, this is the Son of God. This is Pastor Lutzer. We must realize that in the face of truth, people still walk away and simply do not get it. Yes, I think that there are many people who should have known better. They should have known who Jesus was, not just when he was being crucified, but even in his life and in his ministry. But they rejected him. There is a blindness that accompanies the human heart that can only be taken away by God. It is when God begins to lift that veil, we begin to understand who Jesus is, why he died, and the significance of his death. I wonder if you today are one in whose heart God is working. If you find within yourself this desire to believe in Christ, to know more about him, if you are drawn to the cross, I urge you to come to Christ, because what you are sensing may indeed be the powerful Holy Spirit overcoming blindness and obstacles and rationalizations and bringing us where we all need to be, there where Jesus died for people just like us.
Today, Dr. Erwin Lutzer brought part 2 of A Cry of Anguish, another in his series on Cries from the Cross, A Journey into the Heart of Jesus. Monday, 3 unforgettable lessons we can take from these, the darkest words ever spoken by the Son of God. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. Cries from the Cross can be yours as a challenging book by Dr. Lutzer. We'll send it as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. Join us for Monday's Running to Win.